those. And the team and Louis knew a little bit about the theme, and Louis couldn't have read a better scripture at our prayer time. We couldn't have had better songs this morning that God is theming things. And thanks so much for participating this morning and singing with all our hearts. It's so wonderful when we can just fill this room with the hustle and bustle of greeting one another and talking before and service and greeting time and during worship, that we're just engaged and fully there and ready and prepared for what God wants to do in and through us. Because it doesn't just happen at the message time. It happens through everything, through our conversations, through classes downstairs, through our worship, through a word someone speaks to us. And we start out things early Sunday mornings, and one of the things I'd like to invite you to, if you're not in the habit of coming, 9:30 in the morning, we just meet in my office and we pray, and it's a wonderful time to if you're looking for a quieter space. Sometimes people say, I wish we had a bit quieter space in here just to prepare my heart. That's the place to do it. So 9:30 in the morning, you want to come and pray and get your heart ready. And this morning we're talking about just exactly what Louis prayed about, this idea that our battle's not against flesh and blood. And we've been in a month of prayer and fasting, a focus time. We haven't done this before. We haven't called the church to fasting quite in this way before. This past week, some of us fasted for 3 days, and I've been hearing from different people the different kinds of media fasts or Daniel fasts or taking a meal or a few days and just the great things that God is doing. Do you have things that you want to do better at? You probably all do. You have some things you want to do better at. I've got lots of things I want to do better at. I'm a little bit of an early adopter. Just ask any of our staff. I love new systems and software and things that can be purposeful and help us out. And so I get all involved in those types of things, books that are where God is leading me and taking us and things like that. For example, our girls are both lifeguards, and so they began to very quickly outswim me. I'm not a strong swimmer, and so I thought I should learn a bit about that. So I took adult swimming lessons, if you can imagine that. How embarrassing. But it was great. Sunday nights over Forest Heights, someone here told me you should do that, and so I did it. And I didn't outswim them, and it helped me a little bit. But I like doing those types of things. As a youth pastor, I realized early on that having some good media to announce things and just help students know what's going on is a good tool. So I took some Photoshop courses and learned to do some of those things. I wanted to make some inroads in my neighborhood in our last house to some neighbors with kids the same age as ours across the street. So I begged and borrowed from friends a bunch of hockey equipment, went to play against sports, and we had a pickup hockey league at the church during summers, and I knew the guy played hockey, so I learned to play ice hockey for a couple summers that I'd never done that before in my life. I like doing those types of things, and so sometimes hard work pays off. You know, we go to a course, we read a book, we learn some things, we open the help file, we get some mentoring. Sometimes hard work pays off for something we want to do, something we want to change, something new. But you know what? Hard work doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. There's an article a few years ago in Psychology Today called The Great Myth of Hard Work, and it concluded this. This is kind of a disjointed sentence, but I copied and pasted from their conclusion. The myth that we can achieve anything we want if we just work hard enough then is just that, a myth. The hard work is accepting that everyone and everything has limitations and finding ways to accept that limitations are just a part of human, of being human, are signs of really growth, and they're not signs of failure. I have areas of weakness. You have areas of weakness. You have areas that you want to see change in. And our battles and our areas of change, there's a physical realm component. There's a hard work component. But there's something else to it. At the first church I served at in Auburn, Ontario, Huron Chapel, EMC, they'd been looking for church property for years, and they're located in a little small town of about 500 people, and they were finding properties all over the place, nowhere close to the town. And so we decided to do something different. We called the church to just one day of prayer and fasting. And then within a month, they got property where the church is built now, just a street behind them at the edge of town, and God just opened doors. When we want to see spiritual things happen, we need to do spiritual things. Spiritual ground is taken by spiritual means and then lived out through active obedience, through actually obeying. Spiritual ground is taken by spiritual means and then lived out through actual obedience. And when it comes to especially sin, especially these things about ourselves that God wants us to change, that the Holy Spirit's laying on our heart, this is absolutely the case. Spiritual ground is taken by spiritual means, and then it's lived out by actual, tangible obedience, that hard work of doing stuff. If you're human, you have weaknesses. You have sin. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have been set free from the power of sin. Your sins are forgiven, past, present, future. Sin holds no power over you. You have a new nature and a new spirit in you. You don't have to sin, but since we live with old patterns of behavior, the flesh, we live in a broken world, and we live under the power of sin while we're still here before Jesus returns again, we'll sin, right? No one's perfect, and God understands that. But oftentimes when we struggle with something, what do? We go to natural means. So we'll go get a book on better habits. We'll maybe set up some accountability. We'll read about some things. We go to seminars, courses. We talk to people. We try and put new patterns of behavior there. For example, maybe pornography has been just a battle zone for you. And so doing things like setting up passwords and not going on the computer at night and bouncing your eyes and all these different tools are really, really healthy and really, really good. But the hard work of doing those is not enough. And anyone who's had a besetting sin, something that's just hung around for a while, knows that. You've worked hard and you've had seasons of victory, but they haven't lasted. And why? Because spiritual ground is taken by spiritual means, and then it's lived out. The Israelites constantly were bouncing back and forth between obedience and sin. And at one particular point, they were being defeated by the Philistines. In fact, the Philistines had defeated them so much, they had raided their camps and stolen the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was the representation of God's Spirit and God's presence, and held some sacred things in there. It was very important to God's people, and they had stolen it. And so God's people, the Israelites were just fully defeated. Now, they were living in sin, they were following other idols, and I think they kind of had an idea of why this was taking place. And so the Philistines steal this, and they take this ark, and wherever they take the ark, they have death and tumors and all sorts of stuff. So they send it back to the Israelite camp, to the Israelite area, and Samuel calls the people, because that's the time. He calls the people to come back to God. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. And we're going to read this together. We don't usually do this, but this morning we're going to read it through, and then I'll make some comments about it and see how it applies to fasting and giving up. 1 Samuel 7, 3 to 14. You can follow along on the screen. Then Samuel said to all the people of Israel, "If you want to return to the Lord with all your hearts, get rid of your foreign gods and your images of Ashtoreth. Turn your hearts to the Lord and obey him alone. Then he will rescue you from the Philistines." So the Israelites got rid of their images of Baal and Ashtoreth and worshipped only the Lord. Then Samuel told them, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah, and in a great ceremony, drew water from a well and poured it out before the Lord. They also went without food all day and confessed that they had sinned against the Lord. It was at Mizpah that Samuel became Israel's judge. When the Philistine rulers of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, they mobilized their army and advanced. The Israelites were badly frightened when they learned that the Philistines were approaching. "Don't stop pleading with the Lord our God to save us from the Philistines," they begged Samuel. So Samuel took a young lamb and offered it to the Lord as a whole burnt offering. He pleaded with the Lord to help Israel, and the Lord answered him. Just as Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines arrived to attack Israel. But the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day, and the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. The men of Israel chased them from Mizpah to a place below Bethkar, slaughtering them all along the way. And we'll stop reading there. You can put to the next slide. I'll just be up there. Samuel does this. He then takes a large stone and puts it down as a reminder. If you've ever heard the sung the hymn that says, "I raise my Ebenezer," here's where we get the meaning for that. They called it Ebenezer because it means a stone of help. Up to this point, the Lord has helped us. And so they're remembering that the Lord has helped us. These people weren't much unlike us, were they? Right? See, what happens with us is when things get good, things are going well, you know, God had done great things, brought them out of slavery, you know, all sorts of things were at play at that point in Israel's history. Things were good. And for some people, they drift into sinful behavior and just kind of really wander from the Lord. Others just, they get complacent, a little bit watered down. You're not as connected or dependent on the Lord. And so things kind of go a little sideways. And they're like us. And then when things get bad, what do you think the people's heart was like? When they heard the Philistines were coming, what do you think they wanted to do? Probably do what they had done in the past with great measure of victory. Take their swords up, get their army, and go chase after these guys and defeat them. But here's what they did. They were shaken and defeated, and Samuel called them. Here's what they did to return to God. Two things. They returned spiritually, they fasted, they prayed, they confessed and offered to God, and they obeyed. They put God first. No idols. Worship God alone. And it's more often than not, we do a little bit of this returning spiritually. We throw up these kind of Hail Mary prayers, no pun intended, to God, just to please God, help me. And then we get to work. And sometimes we don't experience the victory that we desire, that we want. And we've not fully returned our hearts back to God. Eventually, they did get rid of the idols. They did exactly what Samuel said, but that was only part of the victory. When they gathered to pray, fast, confess, and offer, that's when things changed. That's when the tide turned. There was obedience to be done. They eventually took their swords and chased after the Philistines, didn't they? They eventually put those obedience pieces into play. But their hearts had to return to God first. And we know that their hearts were turned. God didn't just change their behavior. He didn't simply give them a list of rules. If you do this, then this. Through Samuel, he did say, look, return to me, get rid of your idols. But it was about their hearts. It was about their hearts, wasn't it? And so we know that their hearts were turned because in the middle of this, verse 7, we'll go back to verse 7. When the Philistine rulers heard that Israel had gathered at Mizpah, they mobilized their army. What a great opportunity. These people, they don't have their swords with them. They've not gathered their army. They're defeated. They're just going to pray. Let's surround them. Let's defeat them. And we know that happens still. Every year, there are horrible stories in places like India and Africa and the Middle East where churches are surrounded and burnt to the ground while people are in them. And so this enemy surrounds them in their worship service. And the people catch wind of this and they're afraid. The Israelites are badly frightened when they learned that the Philistines were approaching. But notice what they didn't do. They didn't just get to work. And when the trouble comes, when you're kind of drifting from God, when your heart needs to be back to God, our first inclination is to do, right? I better go to church, pick up my Bible, start doing. I got this to-do list of stuff. But we know that God had changed their hearts through their initial small acts of obedience because they said to Samuel, don't stop pleading with the Lord to save us. Don't stop what you're doing. In fact, they begged him, and he offered. And that whole day, what did they do? They fasted, and they confessed their sin. They repented. Something changed in their heart where they didn't just want to go this way anymore. They weren't saying to God, God, rescue us from this thing, but I want to keep going over here, right? Have you ever done that? I've done that. There are times where I'm like, I don't want this trouble, but I kind of like my space, God. I kind of like doing my own thing. So, you know, rescue me, get me out of this pickle, but keep your distance. Don't tell me to do too much. That's not what these people are doing. And that's not what great victory requires. They prayed, they fasted, they confessed sin, they offered to God, and their faith was strengthened and their hearts were changed. And God answered. He spoke. He threw the Philistines into complete confusion long before the Israelites ever had the all clear. Okay, now get your swords. Now go. The victory is yours. They were already defeated. They already had turned and run, scared, defeated already. God had already won the battle that the people needed anyway. He already did the work for them. There was work for them to do, but God did the work. Spiritual ground is taken by spiritual means, and then it's lived out by actual obedience. In your life, you can't expect to conquer sin, have new desires, live abundantly, see God move in areas you can't control, your relationships, your finances, your health, your home, your work, all these things you have no control over, if you try to do it through hard work alone. There's stuff for us to do. There is hard work. There's a time for the hard work, but there's a time for the fasting. There's a time for the putting it in God's hands. In the Bible, time after time, we see people turn to God first in fasting so that in their weakness they would be strong. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, he's going through a terrible time of weakness and he's prayed to God again and again, take this away. And God says, no, you need this. I'm going to leave this because you need to be reminded that you are weak and I am strong. God says, my grace is enough. And then Paul says those wonderful, awesome words, when I am weak, then I am strong. When do you hear that in the world? Where do we hear that? We don't hear that. It doesn't make any sense. You climb to the top by your hard work. You get better in school, better grades, better at work, better being a parent, better at whatever you want, sports, you name it. You get better because of your hard work and your dedication and your diligence. But hard work isn't enough. It's not enough, and it's not enough to have spiritual victory in our lives. That's why we fast, and that's why we pray, and that's why we confess. We give up to get strong. We give up to get strong, because in the giving up and becoming physically weak in an area and giving something up where there's a weakness or a need, we're reminded again that I'm weak. I'm nothing. I can't do this. I've failed time and time again. We're admitting that. We're confessing that. We're saying, God, you are strong. And as I'm giving up food or media or whatever it may be, God, I'm asking that in this other area of my life that I can't control, in this other area of where I live, in this thing I'm praying for that I'm asking you to change in my life or lives of others, I'm asking for you to be strong, for you to do what only you can do because I can't. And so we give up something in recognition that we can't do this thing. We give up to get strong. Last year I fasted for a number of days for the very first time. I'd never done an extended fast. And you know what? I found the quality of my walk with God, who I was, my mentality, a number of things for months after that shifted and changed. More than other things I was doing. More than other things I was doing. I still was spending time with God. God was shaping and forming me. I was having mentors meet with me and all sorts of things during my sabbatical. So those were some factors. But I knew in my heart, every time I thought about, why is it different now? God just kept taking me back to what I'd done. Because sometimes he just asks us to obey and do things that don't make sense, that have some spiritual weight to them. It's almost like a bank. We're putting in credit in this spiritual bank, and God allows us to withdraw in the natural realm, in this other area that doesn't necessarily seem to connect the dots between. And so we fast and we pray. How about you? Are there some areas in your life where you're weak? Are there some things around you you're just not seeing any headway? some problems, some issues, some things. I can guarantee you it's not because God's weak. Now, sometimes God says no, but I'll guarantee you it's not because God's weak. And I encourage you to try something different. Do something different. Try fasting. In your family, your finances, your home, your job, those situations you long to see changed, but just don't see them moving. Try a different way. Try God's way. Give up to get strong. God isn't about to do all the work for you. It's not the way he works. We don't fast and pray, so God, you're going to do the work now, and I can sit back and watch what you do. We partner with God. We do the spiritual work, but there's also the actual obedience. And so in fasting, we place things in God's hands, and we wait for him to strengthen us and call us to obedience, because there will be things to do. If it's a relationship that's kind of bad, there'll be some work to do there. If it's a habit or a sinful behavior, there'll be some work to do there. And all those good practical things you've learned and you read in books, they're all wonderful and you still need them. But on our own, we're not strong enough to do these things. We're just not. Do you know what makes the gospel unique? Why we know it's not a religious system? Why it's different? Because in coming to Jesus, we have to express and confess our weakness. And we receive his forgiveness and his strength and what he's done in us. But for some reason, as followers of Jesus, we sometimes think now it's my work to please him, and I'm going to do the hard work from this point on. And we forget the same way we come to Jesus initially is the same way we come day after day after day after day. And fasting for periods of time, whether it's a meal or a day or giving something up for a period of time, screens or media or whatever it may be, music, it reminds us of that. It calls us back to the heart of the gospel, that Jesus has done the work already and spiritual ground can be taken through spiritual means, and then we obey. Give up to get strong. I encourage you to do that. And I hope that for some of you sitting here, you've got that thing on your mind and your heart, and that you have the courage to try something different. Maybe you need to talk to someone about that, get some advice, get some accountability. But I encourage you to give up to get strong. Why don't we stand as we're dismissed this morning? Father God, thanks so much that your ways are higher than our ways. And you know, sometimes, God, we are strong, and we can read something in your word or have a prompting of your spirit and just simply obey it. But that's only because you've already strengthened us. But there's these other areas in our life, Lord, that some people just can't get headway along. Sinful, besetting sins that hang around. Relationships that don't seem to change. Patterns of behavior. And God, we're trusting you for great things this year. To set us free, to release us.